you're really going to die?
Yes. It will be a great adventure.
It will? You're not afraid?
I do not know how to be afraid.
I could show you if you like, Albert ventured.
No, I should like to learn by myself. I shall have experiences at last.
Master, if you go, will there be...
A new death will arise from the minds of the living, Albert.
Oh, Albert looked relieved. You don't happen to know what he'll be like, do you?
No.
Perhaps I'd better, you know, clean the place up a bit, get an inventory prepared, that sort of thing.
Good idea, said Death, as kindly as possible. When I see the new Death, I shall heartily recommend you.
Oh, you'll see him then?
Oh, yes, and I must leave now.
What, so soon?
Certainly, mustn't waste time.
Death adjusted the saddle, and then he turned and held the tiny hourglass proudly in front of Albert's hooked nose.
See, I have time at last. I have time.
Albert backed away nervously. And now that you have it, what are you going to do with it? He said. Death mounted his horse.
I am going to spend it.
The party was in full swing. The banner with the legend Good Debye Windle, 130 Glorios Years, was drooping a bit in the heat. Things were getting to the point where there was nothing to drink but the punch, and nothing to eat but the strange yellow dip with the highly suspicious tortillas, and nobody minded. The wizards chatted with the forced jolliness of people who see one another all day and are now seeing one another all evening. In the middle of it all, Windle Poons sat with a huge glass of rum and a funny hat on his head. He was almost in tears.
A genuine going-away party, he kept muttering. Haven't had one of them since old Scratcher Hoxole went away.
The capital letters fell into place easily.
Back in, the year of the intimidating porpoise. Thought everyone had forgotten about him.
The librarian looked up the details for us, said the bursar,
indicating a large orangutan who was trying to blow into a party squeaker.
He also made the banana dip. I hope someone eats it soon.
He leaned down.
Can I help you to some more potato salad?
He said, in the loud, deliberate voice used for talking to imbeciles and old people. Windle cupped a trembling hand to his ear.
What? What?
More salad, Windle?
No, thank you.
Another sausage, then?
What?
Sausage.
They give me terrible gas all night, said Windle.
He considered this for a moment and then took five.
Shouted
the bursar,
do you happen to know what time? What time?
9:30, said Windle,
promptly, if indistinctly.
Well, that's nice, said the bursar. It gives you the rest of the evening free.
Windle rummaged in the dreadful recesses of his wheelchair, a graveyard for old cushions, dog-eared books, and ancient half-sucked sweets. He flourished a small green-covered book and pushed it into the bursar's hands. The bursar turned it over. Scrawled on the cover were the words, Windle Poons, his diary, a piece of bacon rind marked today's date. Under things to do, a crabbed hand had written, Die. The bursar couldn't stop himself from turning the page. Yes, under tomorrow's date, things to do, get born. His gaze slid sideways to a small table at the side of the room. Despite the fact that the room was quite crowded, there was an area of clear floor around the table, as if it had some kind of personal space that no one was about to invade. There had been special instructions in the going-away ceremony concerning the table. It had to have a black cloth with a few magic sigils embroidered on it. It had a plate containing a selection of the better canapés. It had a glass of wine. After considerable discussion among the wizards, a funny paper hat had been added as well. They all had an expectant look. The bursar took out his watch and flicked open the lid. It was one of the new-fangled pocket watches with hands. They pointed to 9:15.